you, choir. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans 15. We'll be reading from verses 4 through 13. But before I begin, I want to tell you a little bit about our emphasis this month. And you've seen the Christmas trees on our wall here, and we are looking for you to put packages on those. And as you have noted in your bulletin, the line across the bottom, $50 puts a package on there. And $50 goes directly to our missions. This coming month, we have the Lottie Moon Foreign Mission Offering. And it's always done at Christmas because Lottie Moon, as you'll read in your newsletter and other places, was one of our first missionaries. She went to China. And Lottie Moon gave her life to the Chinese. In fact, when the famine hit China, she would not eat like the rest of them. And she got so weak that on her way back, a nurse was bringing her back to the United States to save her life. And she died in a harbor in Japan on her way back on a ship. She was committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And back in those days, Lottie Moon would write the ladies of the South and say, "We're starving. We need more help. We need this." And they started this Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And the first offering that came up allowed them to have three more missionaries in China. And so you'll note that many of the underground churches today and those who believe in Christ are due to Lottie Moon and those who came after her. One of the exciting things about foreign missions is that Southern Baptists, you can be proud. Number one, I want to tell you, this is a giving church. And I am so proud of your gifts to our cooperative program. Many of you may not know, but you are the fifth largest giver to the cooperative program in our association. You also give above that, 2% to our state mission offering, which also goes to further the kingdom of God here. And in total, you give 14% of every dollar that comes undesignated to missions. This is a mission-minded church. We also want to let you know that this is a special time in our life because the Lottie Moon Christmas offering is one that you can give, and it goes directly to our missionaries. Not one dime is taken out for salaries. Not one dime is taken out for administration. 100% of everything you give will go directly to the mission field. Now, I want to tell you why that's important for us. Number one is we have over 4,900 missionaries that serve outside the continental United States. And every day, they are commissioned to go out and build relationships with people in order to share Christ with them. That's all they do. They build schools. They educate. They nurse. They doctor. They share. They build things. They put up ministries. All of it is to build a relationship to be able to tell people that Jesus Christ loves them as the answer. In fact, many of the missions that you find even in Muslim countries, the underground churches and things like that, were started by Southern Baptist missionaries. Many of them are tortured. Many of them are harangued. Many of them are in threat of their life. The thing about Southern Baptist and missions is this. We have many churches that have missionaries. And those missionaries must go to that church or those churches every year and ask for money so they can be on the mission field another year. So they spend their year off from missions, going from church to church, sharing why they need money. The Cooperative Baptist, or the Cooperative Program, rather, many years ago, was invented by Southern Baptist. It was invented that we might 40,000 churches come together and put our funds in one account, and it be administered by our Foreign Mission Board and our Home Mission Board to support missionaries. Your missionaries that we send out never have to beg for money. They never have to worry about money, where money's going to come for health reasons, their retirement, educating their children, and their furlough, so when they come home for furlough, they can spend it with their families. The downside of that is sometimes we don't get to know missionaries up front and personal like some other churches. But what we do is far greater, I think. However, I want to introduce you to one young man. His name is Jonathan McNeil. Jonathan McNeil was born to missionary parents in Poland. And at an early age, he began to speak Polish before he even spoke English. I found out about Jonathan last year, and this past summer we had Jonathan come and speak in our church. And at that time, he shared with us that he was seeking the Lord's will in missions and asking God to open the door for him to go to foreign missions. So we committed to pray for him, and I prayed for him many times. Subsequently, he contacted me when he said, "Pastor Steve, would your church please pray for me and support me in missions?" So I asked the congregation in a church conference. We decided we would pray and offer support as we could. Jonathan later contacted me and said, "Pastor Steve, I have been asked to come to the International Mission Board training camp, and I am going to undergo training to be a foreign missionary, and I'm praying that they will appoint me to Poland. So on the day that they appointed him to Poland, he called me and said, I am going to Poland to be a missionary. That was his first language. So he is back in Poland now, and I received, and I sent it out to many of you, his first letter. Jonathan is the son of one of our ministers in this association. His home is Havelock, and he's one of our missionaries serving in Poland. And he's asked us to pray for him. So every dollar that's given in this Lottie Moon Christmas offering will go to missionaries like Jonathan on foreign fields who are sharing the gospel. It's exciting to see what God is doing in this young man's life. He's in a great student ministry there at the university and sharing the light of God's love with others. And God is using him because faithful Southern Baptists in churches all across this America, 47,000 are faithfully giving into a fund that can support more than 5,000 Jonathans throughout the world. I hope that this Christmas that you will find it in your heart to put a package on our tree, to sacrificially give. I know that I was contemplating giving up coffee during December, or at least buying coffee, so that I could increase my gift to the Lord and to missions. But Phyllis and I will put a box on that tree, and we invite you to join us as we support Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions. What a great way to make sure that God's message is proclaimed throughout the world. So I hope that you'll prayerfully give. This morning, though, we're going to talk about hope. And that's what Jonathan is sharing with many of those in Poland, is about hope. We lit the candle of hope this morning, and I want us to draw our attention to that special focus as we read our scripture this morning. If you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Beginning in verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs of the Gentiles, may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, and this is the key verse, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God and his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. I appreciate having the Advent candle lit today by Josie and Ethan Grismore this morning. Advent, as you may have read in this morning's bulletin, is a season. It's a season that we begin today. It helps us to focus on the real meaning of Christmas. And as we light a candle each week, it will serve as a guide that we're getting closer and closer to the day of celebration in which we celebrate our Savior's birth. Hopefully, I pray that this will be a spiritual journey for you this year and for all of us as we touch each one another with the love of Christ in the coming weeks and start to share the scriptures with. Tonight, I'll be having an Advent study, so at 6 p.m., if you'll come and join us in the sanctuary this month. We're going to come here and this month because we're going to be singing some Christmas carols, I hope, and so along with the Advent study. So if you'll come and share with us, we'll be here and doing that. So Christians have a hope, though, that is not really understood by the world. And the reason I'm preaching this sermon today is because I'm not really sure that even Christians clearly understand the hope that we have. Many people today are experiencing hopelessness, and for a good reason. The world just doesn't give most of us a good feeling right now for a variety of reasons. Many are ready to receive something more than what they've got, something more trustworthy and more meaningful in their lives. It reminds me of a story that I read about a family who was out for an afternoon when the mother looked over and saw a man standing on top of a car that was sinking in the middle of the river. She jumped from her car and into the river and began swimming toward the man. Her husband followed after her, and the kids watched. The woman reached the man and offering him a limb for him to grab and to come to shore, he refused it. He shouted, "I'm not worth it. I'm not worth anything. I have no value." And she kept yelling back, "You are worth it. You have value. You are meaningful." And for a few seconds he thought, because of her persistent yelling, he yelled back at her, "Why are you trying to help me?" She answered again, "Because you are worth it. You are worth saving. You have value." And very frustrated, the man yelled, he said, "What is your name? What is your name?" And she yelled back and said, "My name is Hope." Well, you see, her given name really was Hope. And because she shouted back her name, it triggered something in him that he was worth something. And she was the hope that God sent to save his life. Some might think it's a coincidence, but I believe it was not. The young man, once hopeless, was saved by hope. It may have been a hope of a different kind, but it was hope. You see, many people have been saved like he was, by a hope that was certainly given to them by a gracious God and lifted them out of their tribulations and their circumstances that are circumstantial and temporary, and filled them with that eternal hope, that everlasting hope, that hope that comes only from knowing the Christ child. Some people might even ask, well, what is this Christian hope? And there's been a lot of study on the word hope, and a writer by the name of Bert Domino provided much information for me this morning. He said that most people understand hope as wishful thinking, as in, "I hope something will happen." This is not what the Bible means by hope. The biblical definition of hope is confident expectation. Hope is a firm assurance regarding things that are unclear and unknown. Hope is a fundamental component of the life of believers. Without hope, life loses its meaning. And in death, there is no hope. The righteous who trust or put their hope in God will be helped, and they will not be confounded. They will not be put to shame. They will not be disappointed. Believers have this trustful hope in God, a general confidence in God's protection and help, even when everything around us seems hopeless, and we are free from fear and anxiety. Believers are confident that in Christ we find the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. The Christian hope is rooted in faith in the divine salvation in Christ. Hope for Christians is experienced through the presence of the promised Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God is that which gives us evidence that he is at work and that we have hope in our lives. Even our internal glory, eternal life, and eternal inheritance, the return of Christ, the transformation, all of these things that we experience, even the likeness that we have in Christ, the salvation of God, to include Christ himself, is ours as believers. As the young people say, "That's a fact, Jack." I want to tell you about this fact. The certainty of this blessed future is guaranteed through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. It's unbelievable how the Holy Spirit changes us and gives us that eternal hope that cannot be quenched, that cannot be suffocated, that cannot be changed by the things of this world or the circumstances of life. This past week, I had the privilege of doing the funeral for Miss Getty Lewis. And I asked the Lewises if I could share this story. You see, when I first met Miss Getty, she was already in trouble. However, every Wednesday morning when I visited her and I read scriptures to her and mentioned your names and the church, she would smile, she would light up. And as I left on Wednesday mornings after I had prayed, Miss Getty would always pat my hand or my leg and she would pray for me and for my family. And through the months as I saw the understanding and the memories of this life leave her. It was she no longer recognized the names of people at Cherry Point Baptist Church or our church or even her grandchildren. The light of God's hope in her life never dimmed. Even in the darkest hours, in those moments when people did not even think she was there, the reading of Scripture, the presence of Christ, that hope, and even upon her death, as people who had tended her for months and years came to her room in grief because she had and gave evidence of the living hope within her. And I'm telling you that there's nothing that will put out this living hope that we can have in Christ if we just trust Him and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to ignite it in us, that everyone around us will know there's something different. There is a Christ child. There is a soon and coming King. And this is who we should have our hope and our being in. And when we do, even the worst circumstances of this life, the deadly treasures that we hold dear, I will tell you, nothing shall put out the flame of hope in the life of a Christian who has planted their life and their hope and their being in His church and in His word. And for those of you that knew her, know she was a prayer warrior. And through that experience of communicating with the loving God, she claimed eternal hope. For this hope can never be put out with the trials and the tribulations and the circumstances of this life. And it is that hope that Paul was talking about. People think, oh, in the biblical days, they waved palms and they sang and had music. But when Paul wrote this to the Christians, the Gentile Christians, the world was a mess. Persecution was everywhere. Those who were professing Christ were put down and out and hurt in many ways. They were running for their life. They were trying to hang on to something. And Paul says, listen, hang on. Because we have that hope that is eternal. Without a job, without security of a future in this life, with sickness and pain in our bodies and all the things that encumber us in this life, even death does not put out the light of hope that believers can have. Nothing shall extinguish the light of hope that the Holy Spirit places in your life and in your being. Because you're born of a King. You're born of a Savior. You're included in the kingdom of God because of your faith. And the whole goal of our eternal hope should be that it flickers as bright as Miss Getty's, so that even in darkness, hope will be manifested in your life. You see, now we can understand that this idea of biblical hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. More specifically, hope is the confidence that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what He will do in the future. And if we really drill down to the spiritual truth to further understand our hope, we need to look at the words that they used in the New Testament and the Old Testament, where you see the words that are most often used to connote hope in the Old Testament to look for something with eager expectation. It's a word they used in the Hebrew called tigwa. And other words that they used are batak. We find also in Yaakov. These words have unique meaning to the hope that they were expecting in the soon coming Messiah, the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, that baby in a manger. In the New Testament, they pick up this idea of the Messiah in the word Elpizine and the noun Elpis. And this idea of this is, we have seen the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament that this Christ was born of a Virgin Mary and is the Savior of the world. And now with that same confidence and knowledge of what he's done in the past, we are looking for the soon and coming King, that he will come again in glory, that he will come again. And in this Advent season, we celebrate the Christ child coming, but we have our eyes focused on the distance with the sure and certain hope that just as Jesus came as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, he's going to come as a soon and reigning King. And I pray that our light of hope, the candle of the Holy Spirit in our lives flickering, will be brighter and brighter as we come closer and closer to him. I will tell you, hope in God was generated by his mighty deeds in history in fulfilling his promise to Abraham. He redeemed the Israelites from bondage in Egypt. He provided for their needs in the wilderness, formed them into a community. He led them to successful occupation of the promised land. And these acts provided a firm base for their confidence in God's continuing presence in their lives. And because of God's faithfulness and because of his mercy, those who returned to him could always count on his help, including forgiveness, including promises, including restoration. Jeremiah addressed God as the hope of Israel, the savior thereof in the time of trouble. The psalmist also called on Israel to hope in the Lord, for the Lord is an unfailing love. The psalmist proclaimed that God would redeem Israel for all their sins. And I will tell you, God has kept his promise. The New Testament continues to speak of God as a source and object of hope. For you see, Paul wrote that it was the God who raises the dead on whom believers can set their hope. We have fixed our eyes on the living God, they say, who is the Savior of all men. And Peter reminded his readers that your faith and hope are in God, and the New Testament is in the old. God is the God of hope, has been, is now, and will ever be. You see, this idea of hope is something everybody wants. This idea of a promise at the end of difficulty, the ability to get through trials and tribulation, illnesses, poverty, problems, whatever it is in this life, people want that kind of hope. And even those of us who have it, who understand and confident that we're saved, it dims. It flickers sometimes because of our lack of faith, because of our lack of attention to our spiritual journeys, because other things crowd out our lives. And this season, with the lights and the shopping list and the people that you have to give to and the meetings and the parties that we all attend, I pray that this Advent, as we prepare for the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, that you'll not let the tinsel and the lights and the decorations outshine the light of God's hope in your life and in your circumstances. He came. He promised. He fulfilled his promises. He met every prophecy made about him. And he offered to his people the flame of hope burning brightly for all eternity. My question to you this morning, you may be here this morning and you've never experienced that flame of hope. You may even be here this morning and having feelings somewhat like the man on top of his car sinking. Well, I'm here to tell you that hope has arrived, and his name is Jesus. And you can receive him and allow the flicker of hope to swell up in your life and to become all things that would be able to help you to overcome anything in the darkest circumstances of life, with the calm assurance that the light of hope is on in your life. And may it spread to others around you that your witness and your testimony gives evidence of the real hope in life. So I invite you this morning, if you don't have the light, if you're not a Christian, you've never accepted the light, that you'd come forward this morning, you'd ask Christ to come into your life. I'll be here and I'll pray with you. Even if you decide not to come during the hymn of invitation, I'm available all the time. Just give me a call. Contact me. I'll be glad to share with you what I know. Here this morning, you're a Christian. You say, you know, I know that my light's been flickering. I need to focus on the real things of Christmas this year. You come and I'll pray with you. And if you have any decision to make for Christ this morning, this is the time for you to do it. As we go tell it on the mountain and sing 182, would you please stand and sing this morning?